Can you hear
Thank
us?
You, Dwight. And it's good to be with you. And I have many, many fond memories of trips to Prince Island, North Rustico, Charlottetown Bible Chapel, Manual Bible Camp. And they are all good memories, going back many, many years. And so when Dwight asked me to participate in this Zoom Sunday night chapel meeting of the Charlottetown Bible Chapel, I was very glad to accept the invitation. We're going to be looking at Psalm 139 tonight, as Jesse has already read for you. And these are incredibly challenging and unsettled days. What a difference 2 weeks makes in the life of the world. In the last 2 weeks, we've seen institutions tremble, political uncertainty, global uncertainty, insecurity in the financial markets, politicians and experts trying to design plans to find solutions, to find cures. And this all comes down to the very level where you and I live. It's not something that we can ignore or escape. As living in this time, we have to respond to it. We have to deal with it. And I have family in different parts of the country. I have a daughter and her family in Chicago, and right now they are sheltering in place. I have a son with his family in the province of New Brunswick, and he has just been laid off and going on unemployment insurance or whatever program the government has come up with. So these are unsettled times. And I know that many of you tonight listening know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. You have an understanding of God. You have an understanding of the theology of God, a knowledge of God. Many of you have been Christian believers for many, many years. You've read the word faithfully. You've studied it faithfully. And sometimes we have all the answers in our head. Sometimes we have our theology right in our mind, but our heart is troubled. Our emotions are uncertain. The psalm we're looking at tonight, in endeavoring to answer the question, where can a person in these days place their confidence? The psalm that we're looking at tonight portrays the character of God from one who knew what it was like to go through uncertain, difficult times. David wasn't always, King David was not always on top of the world. There were many times when he was overwhelmed. There were many times that he doubted. There were many times that he feared for his life. Indeed, there were even times when he was frustrated with God. Oh, he knew God in a special way. God had ministered to him as a young man and had anointed him to a special position to be king over Israel. David had experienced all that. There were many wonderful truths about God that he knew. Man, there were times when he was uncertain, when he was afraid. And it seems like sometimes there is a tension between what those of us who follow God and follow Jesus Christ and know him as our personal Savior, there seems at times to be a tension between what we know and how we feel. And the psalmist tonight, David, at least at this point, when these thoughts come to his mind in Psalm 139, he points to the greatness of God. He points to the character of God. And he seeks to find direction in God's character. He seeks, by having these things to go over in his mind, to remind himself that God is worthy of our confidence. When there's no help with the structures of men, the institutions are shaking, when our days are uncertain, when the kings and politicians do not have the answers, when the world is frustrated and anxious, David is saying here that you can place your confidence in God because he never fails. Even though troubled at times, David comes to this understanding, this declaration, when he goes through the character of God, that makes it very clear that even though there were many things about his life that were out of control, he understood and he believed deep down in his heart, when he could get down below his emotions, he understood that God is in control and God is worthy of our confidence. And so as we break this psalm down tonight, I want us to think, first of all, verses 1 to 6. I'm going to just read them and make some comments about them, about David's thoughts here. But this portion of this psalm makes it very clear. David is declaring from his heart and from his mind that his God, the God of Israel, his God with whom he had a personal relationship, is perfect in his knowledge. Look at what he says. He says, "O God, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsetting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it." David makes it very clear, as one who is often overwhelmed, he makes it very clear that God knows everything about him. You see, this God of the Bible is not a God with incomplete knowledge, partial knowledge. Doesn't have to take further courses of enlightenment at the best universities that man has designed. No, this God is perfect in his knowledge. Can I put it this way as we go through these troubled times? Let me put it this way. Gary, God knows you. He knows me. He knows my thoughts. He knows my words before I have spoken. He knows every word I have ever said. He knows every word that I am going to say. He knows every detail about me. There is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. The famous Greek philosopher Socrates had his disciples and followers too. And as they followed him around the Acropolis in Athens, he would probe their thinking and draw them to greater levels of knowledge by asking questions and giving them little insights into life. And one of his maxims that he used with his disciples was, "Know thyself." Guys, know yourself. Know your motivations, know your thoughts, know your abilities. Listen, friends, in untroubled times, it is good to know ourselves. There's no doubt about that. There is a measure of great truth and meaning in that. But you know what I think David is saying here? I think David, if we take that and contrast it a bit with Socrates, David is saying, Gary, listen, Make sure as you go through the situations of life, make sure as you're trying to sort things out and respond properly, make sure that you spend time getting to know the one who knows everything about you, who knows your level of intellect, who knows your emotional makeup, who knows the things that worry you and the things that concern you. Gary, spend some of your day investing it in getting to know the one who knows everything about you. I want to say to you tonight, here as we look at this psalm, what a wonderful thought that the God who made this world, the God who sent his son to die on that cross for my sin, because he loved me, that God knows everything about me. He knows me in a personal way. And I take comfort in that tonight. And then we go to the second portion of this psalm, verses 7 down through verse 12. And we read these words. Where shall I go from thy spirit? This one that knows everything about me. Where shall I go from thy spirit? Or where shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, he is there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, God, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. So in the first section of the psalm, David expresses great confidence in God because he says God is perfect in his knowledge of me. And here in this section of the psalm, if we were to put a caption over verses 7 to 12, we could use something like this. Not only is God perfect in his knowledge, but he's perfect in his presence. He's with me. There's not a place I can go or a place that the circumstances of life would take me as a child of God that God is not with me. The psalmist declares that nothing hides me from God. Nothing hides the child of God from the Heavenly Father. Neither death, nor distance, nor darkness. Nothing. So God knows me. And God is with me. We had a professor come to our Bible college year after year here in Owen Sound. Actually, a man from the Maritimes, Dr. Wendell Calder. And one time, a number of years ago, he was speaking on the presence of God. And the Bible is filled with verses, with statements about God's abiding, everlasting, constant presence in our lives. And I copied down these thoughts as Dr. Calder shared them on one occasion. In Genesis 17, verse 1, God says to Abraham, Abraham, walk before me. Well, if Abraham was walking before God, where was God? God was behind him to back him up. In Deuteronomy 13, verse 4, God says, you shall walk after the Lord your God. So if we are walking to walk after the Lord our God, where is God? God is in front of us to guide us. In Deuteronomy 33, 27, it says this, the eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Well, if God's everlasting arms are underneath, where is God? He's beneath me to support me, So he's behind me to back me up. He's in front of me to guide me. He's beneath me to support me. Psalm 91 verse 1 says this, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Well, if we are abiding under the shadow of the Almighty, where is God? God is above us to support us and protect us. Psalm 16:8. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. But if God is at my right hand, where is he? He is beside me to fellowship with me. And then Psalm 34, verse 7, we find this truth. The angel of the Lord God encampeth round about them that fear him. Well, if the Lord encampeth round about me, where is he really? He is all around me to assure me. And so he's behind me to back me up. He's in front of me to guide me. He's beneath me to support me. He's above me to protect me. He is beside me to fellowship with me. He is all around me to assure me. And then in the New Testament, Galatians 2, verse 20, says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives within me. Where is our wonderful God and Savior? He's within me to empower me. You see, dear friends, he's behind me, he's in front of me, he's beneath me, he's above me, he's beside me, he is all around me, he is within me. Oh, dear friends, listen. God is perfect in his knowledge. He knows me. God is perfect in his presence. He is with me. And then the next section of the psalm, we read this. For thou, God, hast possessed my reins and hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. This portion of the psalm points out that God is not only perfect in his knowledge and perfect in his presence, but he's perfect in his control. He made me specifically and delicately. He formed all the DNA connections, the billions of cells that make up my body. He gave me my level of intellect, my mind, my weaknesses, my emotions. Every detail was fashioned under the control of David's God and my God. He is perfect in his control. He created me in a special way. I remember a number of years ago, my wife and I, at that time in our life, we were teachers. And so we did what a lot of normal Canadian teachers would do in the month of March for March break. We left Canada. And we ended up on three occasions over a short number of years of visiting the beautiful country of Jamaica. And on one occasion, from the resort we were staying in, they offered a tour to basically go around the island, go up over the Blue Mountains from the North Shore where our resort was, and go to Kingston and visit some of the special sites in Kingston, and then make our way around the east end of the island up through mountain ranges along the coast and back to our resort by evening. Well, as things turned out, it got late in the day. And so by the time we were to take that scenic trip along the magnificent coastline and the cliffs that overlooked the ocean on the return trip back to our resort from Kingston, it was pitch black. Darkness fell very quickly in the tropics in the Caribbean. Our bus driver loaded up the bus and told us not to worry. He would get us back to our resort on time. And so we left Kingston and continued on the tour as it was designed, even though it was so dark you couldn't see any of the ocean or any of the sights that we were driving through. And what a ride it was. It was a big white bus on a very narrow road going around these cliffs. And downhills and around corners and uphills, and people at night in dark clothing would be out walking along the roads, and it seemed like he was just barely missing them as we went along. After a few minutes, I started to sense some tension in the bus. My wife and I were sitting across from the driver, about three seats back. As time went by and the tension mounted and the passengers became more and more nervous, I was starting to experience some anxiety. And so I glanced around, and I remember seeing one lady just across from me, and she had her tour guide book right up in her face, just like this. And I glanced away and then glanced back, and it was still up there like that. No pages were turned. There was no conversation going on that I can recall. It was just tense. And then I looked just above the windshield, just above where the driver was sitting. There was this big mirror that reflected his face. And when I looked in that mirror, I saw that our Jamaican driver was totally at peace. In fact, he had a little bit of a smile on his face. He was enjoying this ride. And you know what? Realize that the driver of our bus had been over this road many times before. It was not an uncertain pathway that he was traveling. It wasn't something that he couldn't manage. He was in perfect control of that bus. Can I tell you something, friends? Our God, those of you like me who have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, listen, he is in control. He controls all the circumstances of our lives. Maybe we could put it this way. Nothing surprises him. He knows what's around the next corner of our lives. He knows the next challenge that we're going to face. He knows the tension that we're feeling. So God is perfect in his knowledge. God is perfect in his presence. He's with me. God's perfect in his control. He created me, and he's guiding me. And then we go to the next section, and just a couple of verses here in this section. Verses 17 and verse 18 of this psalm. And the psalmist puts it this way. How precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. I want you to notice there, if you're following along in the Bible, I want you to notice something. He says, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, comma, O God, exclamation mark. And then he goes on and he says, how great is the sum of them, exclamation mark. I think the thoughts that were coming to the psalmist as these words were being written came something like this. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me. Oh God! How great is the number of them. Oh God! Then he says, if I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake from a troubled night, I am still with it. You know, I don't know how this all works. I don't know how God does this. But can I tell you something with confidence? That the child of God is always on the mind of God. There's not a circumstance. There's not a medical test result. There's not a collapse in the stock market. There's not a virus. There's nothing that can take us off the mind of God. Gary is always on the mind of God. Dwight is always on the mind of God. Noah and every other person that knows God in a personal way, we are always on his mind. What love? You see, what he's saying here is that God is perfect in his love. He considers me. I'm always on his mind. Another psalm puts it this way. Psalm 116 verses 1 and 2 says, I love the Lord God because he has inclined his ear unto me. And that idea there in that psalm is that the God of this universe metaphorically is actually inclining like a father would with a child that wants to whisper something to them, that God is inclining his ear in attentive listening to the voice or the cry or the anguish or the frustration of the one he loves. So God is perfect in his knowledge. He knows me. God is perfect in his presence. He's with me. God is perfect in his control. He made me and knows exactly how to deal with all my circumstances. And God is perfect in his love. He considers me. I want us to just go down to the end of this psalm and just reflect on the psalmist's response as he goes through this sequence of expressions about God's character and God's care for him. He comes to a place where he has to respond. Such love. Such knowledge, such presence, such control at any time in life, whether the times are good or whether the times are uncertain, requires that a human being respond somehow to that knowledge that he has just focused on about God. And the psalmist puts it this way. You maybe can put it another way in your own words. You might express it differently than the King James English here. But the psalmist says this after he understands all these great things about God's involvement in his life as a child of God. The psalmist says in verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. I think the psalmist is saying here, having acknowledged in the first part of his expression about God in the first few verses that God knows everything about him, I think the psalmist is giving in and saying, God, you know the emotions of my heart right now. You know the conditions of my heart. You've already said that you know everything about me. So I can't hide from you how I'm feeling. I can't do that because you're perfect in your knowledge. And so, God, I'm just acknowledging to you. I'm just agreeing with you that you know my heart. Friends, that is both comforting and can be concerning. Because you see, the Bible also says throughout the Word of God that an unredeemed heart, a heart that has not been made right with God through Jesus Christ, is a troubled heart. Jeremiah the prophet says the heart is deceitful above all things. Who can know it? We see the selfishness today in our world, even in this time of trouble when people are hoarding and preventing other people from getting the things that they need, and some of our vulnerable citizens having to go without. The psalmist here acknowledges two truths about what God knows about the heart. God knows that the heart of every human being is a heart that needs to confess sin to God and accept Jesus as their Savior. And then the psalmist is also acknowledging that there are times in the life of a child of God who has that personal relationship with the Heavenly Father, that heart is troubled. You're saying, God, I know that too. I know that you understand my weakness. I should be trusting you more. I should be exercising faith more. My theology says that I shouldn't be troubled by these circumstances that are going on. But God, listen, I can't help it. Right now I'm troubled. But God, you know that as well. And then he goes on and he says, try me and know my thoughts. Lord, you know the anxiety of my mind. You know the fear that grips me when I think about the possibilities of what all this might mean. And then he finishes and he says, and see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Listen, friends, can I just suggest this to you tonight? I don't know you. Of course, I can't see you. And I'm sure there are many here listening into this service tonight and viewing it tonight from all kinds of circumstances. And you may be one tonight that does not know God in a personal, dynamic way through his Son, Jesus Christ. Can I suggest to you that what the psalmist says here, when he says, lead me, you know, it's possible for you to just surrender to the free gift that God has already provided through his Son, Jesus Christ. Confess your sin to him and accept him as your Savior. And then, for those of us who are having difficulty in troubled circumstances in our life, after we understand all these things about our God, David says, okay, God, I know. I'm back on track. I want you to lead me. Just lead me tomorrow when the news is gloomy. Just lead me tomorrow when some sad events take place, when I feel overwhelmed, when I'm worried about what's going to happen in my business, when I'm worried about an elderly member of my family whose health is compromised and what would happen if they get this virus. Lord, listen, you are the one in control. You are the one who knows. And just help me to go the next step with you, just to trust you for tomorrow. So that when I awake in the morning, I will find, as the psalmist declared, that your love is so great that when I awake, even with a troubled heart, I realize that I am still with thee. Because nothing can separate the child of God from his God and Savior who loved him and gave himself for us. Let me just conclude by reading a very short psalm that talks about the safety for those who love the Lord. It makes it very clear that those who love the Lord can put their trust in God's protection for the circumstances of life. Psalm 121, I'm sure several of you know this and probably have portions of it memorized. The psalmist in Psalm 121 declares this: I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From where comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. I don't want to be glib by just throwing around cliches. But you know what? At times when I really reflect on who God is in these circumstances, I have to admit, Gary doesn't have this, but God's got it. My life is in his hands. I trusted the Lord Jesus as my Savior when I was a child. He has never failed. He has never disappointed me. I've done some foolish things and have gone through some difficult times maybe. But can I tell you something? God has never failed. And friends tonight who know Jesus as our personal Savior, he's with us. And if tonight you don't know Jesus as your Savior, can I suggest to you that God and his Son, Jesus Christ, are the only ones in whom you can place your confidence and you will never be disappointed. You can trust him. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for who you are. And I want to thank you, dear God, that the Bible makes your character so very, very clear to us. And Lord, these are troubled days. These are unusual ways for the people of God to meet and to worship. But Lord, you are in control. And so tonight, as we conclude this time together in your word, I just pray that something from your word tonight will be used to encourage the hearts of your people. And if there is anyone listening that does not know this great God that the Bible portrays, does not know him in a personal way, dear God, may they search until they find the truth and find that personal relationship in you. And for these things, we will give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus Christ's name alone we pray. Amen. Thank you and God bless.